brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I'm John Betzer with Jonathan Shanzo, Foundation for Defense of Democracies. He's the executive director. A man named Al-Shaara, in a new suit, is due to speak to the United Nations General Assembly. Who is he? He is a cutthroat, straight up. Al-Qaeda, even dappled with ISIS once upon a time. Iraq remembers him as a killer. I'm sure Idlib remembers him as a killer. His organization is made up of junior cutthroats. He now is installed himself as the president of Syria. Is this a fiction? Is this a ploy? Is this Fidel Castro of the Middle East? What is this, Jonathan?
Good evening, John. I'm actually reminded of Yasser Arafat in the early 1990s as I see this unfold. This is a man with a very clear track record of terrorism. He ran the Nusra Front, which was an Al-Qaeda affiliate group. He went on to rename the organization Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, but everybody knows exactly who he was and what he was doing. At one point, as you noted, he did collaborate with the Islamic State as part of the brutal campaign to essentially kill as many Sunnis and as many Alawites as humanly possible during the brutal war between the Assad regime and the Sunni jihadists that broke out after the Arab Spring hit Syria in 2012. What is so fascinating, though, is that since his faction conquered Syria in December of last year, he has been pushed and cajoled primarily by the Qataris and the Turks to begin to embrace a more moderate image. And he has done that by shedding his fatigues and putting on a suit. He's trimmed his beard. He's no longer wearing the military cap that he was once known for. And here he is all cleaned up and meeting with the Syrian Jewish community in New Jersey. Apparently this week, that was on his agenda. He will be speaking to the United Nations. It's really remarkable to consider that something like 6 or 7 months ago, this man was still under American sanctions. There was still a bounty on his head for the crimes against humanity that he had committed. This man was utterly brutal. He has purportedly made a huge about face, but I don't think that anybody trusts it. The only people that seem mostly invested in this right now are, of course, the Qataris and the Turks. They would like to see an Islamist version of Syria emerge. You have the Saudis and the Emiratis, and to a certain extent, the United States, trying to urge him to be more of a pragmatist, to lean toward the pro-Western camp. We don't know which Abu Muhammad al-Jawlani, which Ahmed al-Shaara will emerge at the end of all of this. It really is a remarkable moment, an historic moment of sorts. Syria does have a chance, John, of making an about face and becoming a true member of the community of nations. The last time I believe there was a Syrian president that spoke at the UN was, I think, 1967. And so, you know, this is a remarkable moment for Syria. It's an important moment for the Middle East. But I fear that this man could be trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes, and that in not a lot of time he could emerge as a sort of a Taliban type, a Muslim Brotherhood type, a Hamas type, or even revert back to form as an Al-Qaeda figure that once again wages jihad against the West.
The Alawites, the Druze, the Kurds, they're going to cede authority to him?
I don't think so. And we know that the Israelis are asserting themselves as it relates to the Druze. They have insisted upon a corridor to allow for assistance and for defense of the Druze in southern Syria. The Alawites are, of course, sworn enemies of this new regime. The Alawites were the former rulers of Syria. They were aligned with Bashar al-Assad, who was known for the slaughter of hundreds of thousands. The Kurds are in the north. of the country, and they are pinned down by the Turks. The Turks have unfinished business with them. They want to destroy what is left of the Kurdish, violent Kurdish factions associated with the PKK. Of course, the PKK has renounced violence, but these Kurdish factions have not. So it is a complicated landscape. We could begin to see a Syria break down into some sort of a federated structure, but al-Shara continues to insist upon a unified Syria. That is what he's aiming for. I wouldn't be surprised to hear him invoke this at his speech at the United Nations. But really, there is a lot that is still yet to be determined here as al-Shara attempts to assert himself on the world stage.
The Houthis, I'm told that they continue once a day, a drone, a missile, a drone, a missile. All are taken down, but one did get through and hit a hotel in Eilat with no casualties that were reported. Who's in charge of the Houthis? Tehran? Or is this a completely spun-off outfit that's just daily asserting itself in some fashion?
Well, I mean, let's be clear. First of all, the Houthis would not have ballistic missiles or drones that could travel that far were it not for Iran. So in terms of engineering and the technical elements of their weaponry, that is all the Islamic Republic. They are also getting ideological urging from the regime and some training, some cash. But at the end of the day, Abdul Malik al-Houthi is the person that I continue to look at. This is the leader of this terrorist organization. And he is still the charismatic person that continues to rally Yemenis around this movement. I believe that once the Israelis are able to identify where he is and take him out the way they did with Hassan Nasrallah, I believe we will start to see the unraveling of the Houthis. But up until now, the Israelis have not been successful in doing so. I will say that I've seen some positive signs that the Israelis are getting a better handle on the intelligence in Yemen. They did not have a good handle on it before this war began. There has been a steep learning curve. I believe they have climbed it. The recent elimination of most of the Houthi government all in one fell swoop was a good sign of what may be on the horizon in Yemen.
Snap back, last couple of minutes. It's in place to happen. Will it? Snap back on Iran.
Well, it's interesting. I was just in Germany, John, and I was meeting with folks from their foreign ministry. I was meeting with folks from the U.S. Embassy and elsewhere. There seems to be unanimity right now that these snapback sanctions will be put in place. No one has any faith in the Islamic Republic to walk back from the brink and to agree to allow for weapons inspectors and to agree to allow for the complete dismantling of their nuclear program. So with that intransigence, unwavering intransigence, one gets a sense that the snapback sanctions will be put in place on the evening of September 27th. And once that happens, there could be a full-blown crisis between the West and Iran. The only thing that I'll just note here is that there is not much of a nuclear program for Iran to pursue at this moment. It's not at all clear to me that they walked away with any of that enriched uranium. It could still well be trapped underneath the facilities that the United States bombed. They don't have the ability to enrich uranium the way they once did. They don't have the ability to convert the enriched uranium to uranium metal, which is necessary for a bomb. So there are a lot of holes right now, a lot of gaps in that Iranian nuclear program. And so even if they are intransigent, they also don't seem to have a lot of options in terms of a way forward.
Jonathan Shanzer, he is the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I highly recommend the Long War Journal and other publications from the FDD to stay up with a story that continues to move in unpredictable fashion. Ever since October 7th, 2023, you never know what tomorrow will bring.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.